It's time for this week's Teach Me What You Know. Last week, we learned how to dominate our fantasy football leagues.
Today, a little advice for the wannabe craftsperson from a professional inventor and maker. We'll get the lowdown on Drilling 101.
Steve Hofer is an inventor, and he's a writer. His work appears in Make Magazine and at his Gratheo Labs website. His piece in Boing Boing, A Beginner's Guide to Drills and Bits, is linked on our Central Time Facebook page. Steve, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here.
Well, before we get into drill bits, there's probably two reactions out there. Some people are thinking, drilling, of course. I've known how to do that since I was a kid. Other people saying, I wouldn't trust myself to hold a drill, much less plug it in. Are we getting distance to maybe younger generations from that old standard of do-it-yourself and doing these jobs on our own?
Well, I think a lot of these things are a little bit less common than they used to be, although with the popularity of flat pack furniture and, you know, other things like this, do-it-yourselfing is having a bit of a resurgence. So getting the basic tool usage, which certainly a lot of us have done since we're very young, I think getting those skills a little bit refreshed is worth the time.
Well, and when I want to make a hole in something, I would just grab a drill, get the bit that looks like it's close to the right size, and go for it. In your piece, you lay out a whole bunch of different kinds of drill bits that I didn't know about. So I want to go through some of those and what we'd use them for. The basic, and this is what I'd picture with a drill bit, I imagine, is the twist. That's the standard. What do I want to do with that one?
You could do a lot with the twist bit. Most of the things you're going to want to do around the house, if you're installing shelving or things of that sort, are the twist bits. They're the ones that I think most people think of when they think of bits. It's the cylinder with a little spiral down the side, a little pointy end. Great for drilling through softer materials, wood, good for putting smaller holes, I guess smaller about half inch or smaller holes and things. They're the really good general purpose drill bits. They do come in a couple of different grades, we'll say. The cheap ones you'll find, maybe the ones that come with a tool set, are usually softer steel, good for drilling in wood, maybe some plastic, drywall. If you want to start drilling harder materials, such as steel or other metals, you want to find high-speed steel or carbide tip bits. That can withstand the higher pressures and greater heat. And really useful, higher holes.
Before we get into the other kinds of bits and the jobs we'd use them for, is there a similar quality difference with the drills themselves? If we think, okay, I'm going to be super do-it-yourself person, I'm going to be using this tool a lot, is it worth getting something a little better? How do we evaluate the drill we buy?
There are a few different ways. I tend to say stay away from the ones that are hand-powered, the ones that you have to turn a crank, because they're simply very difficult to use, especially for a beginner, to turn the crank and to get the pressure in the right direction and everything. It can be very difficult for a beginner. So go with the electric ones. Cost a little bit more. It is worth it to spend a little more money than the bottom-of-the-line ones. It all, of course, depends on how much you think you're going to be using them. The more expensive ones, especially important features, would be variable speed. The trigger on it sort of works like a gas pedal. The more you pull it, the faster it spins. A lot of the very cheap ones are not variable speed, and they're very hard to control. You'll also want to get one that has enough power, enough torque to turn turn the drill bit and drill the things that you need to drill. Those are the two most important things. Most of them are cordless nowadays, so get one that has a battery that will last a while.
That's been my downfall, I know, yeah.
With my current drill, I got lucky in that there was a free rebate for two free rechargeable batteries when I bought the drill, and I certainly made the best use of that.
Okay, let's get beyond the twist, the most familiar drill bit, to the spade. What is the spade? What do we use it for?
So the spade kind of looks like a spade. They're sometimes called a paddle bit. They are primarily used in construction just for putting holes and stuff basically as quickly as possible. They don't make a very neat hole. They especially tend to rip out the backsides of holes, but they're often used in construction to just rip a hole in like a 2x4 joist or something to run conduit or electrical cables or things like that. Generally don't use them on anything that you're going to see the hole when you're done.
Okay, and so that's not the one we'd use just on a plaster wall to hang a painting or something?
No, try not to use that one on a plaster wall when you're hanging.
All right.
It'll make a bit of an ugly hole. They also can tend to turn a little bit harder than a twist bit, especially if they like hit a knot or a nail or something. They can really twist the drill right out of your hand. So be a little bit more careful when you use those.
All right, no sprained wrists there. And now from the spade to the auger, what do we do with that?
Now, the auger bits are very similar to twist bits. I mean, they look kind of the same. They're a little bit longer. They're generally for softer materials. Like if you're drilling a hole through inches of wood, the main feature there is that they do come in larger sizes. They come in much longer lengths. You can find them in 18 or 30, 24 inches long. And they have a much deeper flute, which is the curvy thing that runs the length of the bit to remove material. So it's mostly used if you have to drill through a fence post to mount if you're building a fence or doing deck work where you have like 4-inch posts that you really need to put a hole through.
And does that deeper fluting help keep it from jamming as you're going through that longer stretch of wood?
Right, because it's a softer material, the bit tends to feed faster, so you need to remove the material faster. The larger flute makes that easier.
Okay, now we're getting into things that I wouldn't even know how to picture based on their description, the Forstner bit. What is that? Is that the one drill bit that's named after the inventor?
I'm not 100% sure. I believe it probably does relate back to an inventor or a brand name. They are, look at them, they're sort of like a can from the side that they have these cutting edges around the outside, but at the very bottom of the bit, they also have these scraping edges, sort of like a chisel. So what they really are good at is drilling very precise flat bottom holes. And they also come in much larger sizes, so you can find them in 1, 2, 3-inch sizes. So if you need a very neat hole, if you're building, if you're working on a candlestick holder or some other kind of project, especially where you have visible holes in the finished piece, or you just want to make sure that your hole has very neat, fine edges, the Forstner bits are very, very good at this.
Okay, a step drill. Now, that's another one I can't picture just based on the description.
The step drill, it's a sort of a stepped cone is the best way to describe it. Each step, it starts, the pointy end starts out at the narrowest size, maybe an eighth of an inch, and then each step up, maybe a quarter inch of the step is another size up in the bit. And they're made for drilling holes in thin material. They're also very good at being drilling accurate, precise holes without screwing up the material you're drilling into.
So thin material, like a thin layer of plywood? Or?
Well, thin layers of plywood, veneer, thin steel. If you're building, say, you want to build a fancy case for that radio you've modified or something, linoleum, things of that nature. Sometimes you need to drill a pilot hole to insert them into, but you can't really drill through anything that's bigger than one of the steps.
Hmm.
And the way you size the hole is you just start drilling the step drill into the hole, and you stop when it reaches the step. That's the diameter you want. And it tends to create really nice, clean holes. Especially for metal where if you use a twist bit, it'll tend to pucker the steel around the circumference, and just eliminate that.
And the last point on our tour, the hole saw.
Now, the hole saw is, I think technically, it's probably more of a saw than a drill, but it is something you stick at the end of your drill and make holes. It's a jagged little, it's like a can with a jagged edge around one end. It's not for drilling very deep holes, but it can drill very, very round, very large holes. You can get 4, 5, 6 inch diameter holes through them. They tend to be very, it's another one of those that's largely used in construction. If you want to install a recessed light, for example, you get the hole saw with the right hole, they'll put it right through the drywall.
Steve, before we're done, if we're not a hardcore maker or doing construction just around our household, what's the toolkit? What are the basics we should have in our collection of bits?
Well, I would personally get two sets of twist bits. One is the cheap one, might come with your drill set, might be on the 99-cent aisle at the hardware store, and that's for drilling through drywall, holes that don't need to particularly be pretty, soft woods, things like that. And then get a nice set of preferably titanium-coated bits. They'll be a little bit more expensive, but those are for things where you're drilling through harder materials, maybe some light steel, wood, brass, hardwoods. And those are the ones where you want to keep them sharp, but you don't want to
spin. Gotcha, Steve. We'll leave it there. That's Steve Hofer. He's an inventor. We've got a link to his piece on drilling on the Central Time Facebook page.